October, many moons ago. Here we are back in Manitoba, and we're about to go many moons ago because Gordon Goldsborough is here to tell us some tales of abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Laurie.
So last week, we were harking back to our youth and the Beverly Hillbillies and cement ponds. That was your clue.
That's right. And I was referring, of course, to a character who talked about swimming pools as being cement ponds. But I mean this actually completely literally. I mean ponds for which they used the proceeds of the pond for making cement.
Oh.
So they were cement ponds.
Oh, okay. I get it. Not made of cement, but
no,
made.
No. And what I'm referring to, in fact, are some abandoned clay quarries that were used to manufacture cement in the southern part of Winnipeg. In the area around what we now call Fort White, there were two massive cement-making plants. One was run by Canada Cement, later known as Lafarge, and the other one was Inland Cement, later known as Lehigh. And these two plants now are both closed.
Okay. And so cement, that's like concrete, right?
No. In fact, there's a point of clarification I probably should jump in at this point with. People often routinely use the word cement and concrete interchangeably.
You know, like
they walk down a sidewalk made of cement. Well, yeah. It is, in fact, made of cement, but not only cement. Cement is one of the ingredients in making concrete. So to make concrete, you need cement, which is sort of the glue. You need sand and gravel, and you need water. And put all those four ingredients together, and you get concrete. So there's the key. But what we're talking about today is the actual cement itself, the stuff that you used to make concrete. So cement is not just one thing. It's actually a recipe. And the recipes vary, but at the facility in Fort White, they used a mixture that was about 75% limestone. And of course, here in Manitoba, we have lots of that.
Yes.
Our legislature, for example, made a limestone. They also used gypsum. They used clay. It was about 20% clay. And that's where they get these pits that they excavated. About 5% sand. And there's just a little touch of iron oxide. And they put all these together. You turn it at high temperature, and it turns into a solid material when it cools called clinker, kind of a gray stuff. That itself doesn't do very much for you. You then have to grind up the clinker, and it turns into a caustic gray powder. Caustic in the sense that if you get any on your hands, it'll burn. And that's the stuff that you then use to make concrete with.
Okay.
But the facility we're talking about here today in Fort White began in 1911. And that's when a company called the Canada Cement Company built a storage facility for storing clinker. They didn't actually make the clinker there, though. They simply made that in their facility out in Ontario. But they did have intentions to build a facility to make the actual cement there. So in 1911, they started. It took them about 2 years to become operational. So 1913 is when a full-fledged cement-making factory began there in Fort White. And so that's when they began digging in earnest to get the raw materials. They got gypsum and limestone from various places in Manitoba. They got the clay, literally, from those places right beside the factory. You know, the soil there was deposited, you know, hundreds of years ago by Glacial Lake Agassiz. And supposedly there's a deposit there right in that vicinity that in some cases is 30 or 40 feet deep of clay, or what we sometimes call Red River gumbo, you know, that really greasy, sort of sticky stuff.
Certainly do know it, yes.
Indeed. And apparently it makes just a first-rate cement.
Oh.
So that's...
Yes, I see that in my garden, actually. It's pretty much cement.
In fact, when it gets dry, of course, it gets pretty darn hard.
Yeah.
You know? So it has the makings of it.
Oh.
And so that's why they built the factory there, because it was right beside the source of one of the main ingredients in making the cement. So the plant got going, say, in 1913. It employed, by the time it was going at its full height, about anywhere from 85 to 100 people. So there was actually a little community there of Fort White. In fact, if you drive down McGilvery Boulevard today, there's still a few houses along McGilvery that were part of that original cement-making community that built up around the factory.
And do they look different? Or are they?
They look sort of, the architecture of them, sort of 1920s-ish style, and that's because that's when they were built.
Right.
And so there was a community there. There was a school there. It's now occupied by a big church, it was a very active community. And when they were cranking out the cement, the way they had to do it, of course, is, as I said before, they had to have lots of temperature. So they had a big kiln, and that's where they would generate the heat. So they used coal initially, and then later natural gas that generated all this heat. They put all the ingredients together, and that fused into the clinker. They then ground up the clinker, and they got the cement. So the time it was going at full extent in the 60s, it was making about 500,000 tons of finished cement each year. So it was a big facility.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, if you go by the site today, you still get a sense of its grandeur. It is a big, big site. And it isn't just the buildings that you see, because those quarries where they dug the clay, there were actually in time, there were six of them all together, these pits. And eventually, of course, when they would exhaust the supply of clay, they would stop using them, mm-hmm. of course, because there was no more clay.
Right.
Well, the nature of this area is that the water table is pretty high, you know, and if you dig into the ground, you dig below the water table, inevitably water comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while they were busy quarrying, they would always pump it back out again so they could keep digging. But once they stopped quarrying clay, they didn't need to do that anymore. They stopped pumping, and inevitably these things filled up with water, and they became lakes.
Oh, the nice little lakes, ponds.
Indeed.
They
became cement ponds in reality. Now, what's interesting about that is that, of course, this meant that workers at the plant had a place that they can go and relax. It was a nice little lake there. They stocked them with fish so they can go and fish on their lunch breaks and after work hours. The local kids would swim in them. It was very popular.
Sounds great.
It was great. In the later years, an engineer from the cement plant, a gentleman named Don Muir, in fact, he decided that this would be a great place to conserve waterfowl, mm-hmm. ducks and geese. So he established a sort of a conservation sanctuary there for geese. And he was one of the people then that really got going this idea of conservation. And so in time, they decided, well, you know, these lakes could be useful for promoting conservation. And so they became the nucleus of what we now call today Fort White Alive.
That's where the ponds are.
Precisely. So that's why I said before that if you are a Winnipegger, has visited Fort White Alive and have enjoyed the lakes there, you in fact have seen the cement ponds.
So when did the manufacturing give up the ghost? What happened?
Well, of course, it was subject to the globalization, I suppose. There was an increasing demand for cement as construction was in demand. But there was a depression occurring during, I guess, the 1980s and 1990s that really depressed the market for concrete and for cement. So that the South plant, the Lafarge one, closed in 1987. The North one basically ended in 1992. It continued to grind clinker that was brought in from another site until 1994. But so by 1994, these two big industrial sites that had really been the engine of a lot of construction. You think about all the buildings that have cement that came from these two sites.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably all over the world in some cases, but certainly all over the prairies. They went silent. And so since 1994, basically that site is no longer the site of cement manufacture. In fact, today there is a small contingent yet. If you go down Keniston or Route 90, you'll still see that there is sort of a building there standing on the west side, which is the old cement works. And it's basically empty. But north of it, there's a little distribution terminal. And basically what happens is that the cement is brought here from Edmonton. So basically all the concrete that is made here in Manitoba comes to us from Edmonton. They bring the cement here at least, and then they mix it with the raw materials here. So unfortunately, the facility is really not in any real sense a manufacturing plant anymore, and that's where we get the abandonment part.
But the cement ponds are full of ducks. This is good.
That's right. So there is an ongoing legacy, which is actually very, very pleasing because you know, there is an all kinds of environmental education that happens at Fort White Alive. It's a wonderful facility that we have, and it wouldn't have happened were it not for these cement-making facilities.
Oh, who knew, as they say. And also, I'm very interested to tell my husband about the gumbo and why our garden seems to be made of cement.
That's right.
Okay, now next week, what's the hint?
Well, of course, the hint this week was cement pond. I'm going to stay with that theme, or actually maybe more specifically, a concrete pool alongside a railway track northwest of Brandon.
A concrete pool.
A concrete pool.
Okay. Thank you, Gord.
You're welcome, Lori.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Weekend Morning Show host historian Gordon Goldsborough is here every Sunday with fascinating stories about lost and forgotten places in our province. And you can explore some of the other places that Gordon has documented by searching for them at the Manitoba Historical website, mhs.mb.ca. And Gordon will be back again next week at 7:45 on the CBC Manitoba Weekend Morning Show.